This is the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast from SB Nation.
Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast, the podcast, part of SB Nation, at prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook, look for it on iTunes. Yeah, that's getting longer each time I feel like I'm talking about it. Just the two of us today, just myself, Christopher Lemieux, writer for Pride of Detroit, and fearless leader Jeremy Reisman, who
hey, managing and we're out of time.
Yep, that's it. Goodbye, everyone. So we didn't get in here all of December. Is that right?
We maybe had one early on, but we've been gone.
We've been sipping the eggnog.
Something like that.
Actually, most people have been sipping the eggnog. I've been sipping on the Moscow Mule, and I've got Ryan Matthews, editor, hooked on the Mule now too. So,
yeah, he's kicking with you. What's exactly in a Moscow Mule? I know
vodka, lime juice, and ginger beer. Not ginger ale, ginger beer.
That's it. Nothing.
It's a very simple cocktail. It's very refreshing. And if you have the money, you can throw down. You can put it in one of these fancy copper mugs. And they are delicious.
That no one can see right now.
That no one can see because this is not a visual medium. So I don't know why I'm holding it up to my webcam, even though this thing's full of water right now. But here we are.
It's like a metal tin thing.
Yep. So, yeah, happy holidays to everyone. Happy New Year. It's a brand new year. Lions have yet to suffer a loss.
Undefeated, baby.
And probably still undefeated after Sunday, because we're playing the Bears.
Hashtag
the Bears.
We own the Bears.
We own the Bears. That said, they will have Matt Forte back, maybe. He's questionable, I think, was the latest I saw on the injury report.
Yep.
And who was their doubtful? They had a wide receiver doubtful.
Eddie Royal, I think.
Eddie Royal is doubtful. It says illness. That lovely thing that just says illness.
The secret code isn't quite a concussion yet, but could potentially be down the road.
Like, unless he just got the shits, like, really bad. Like, there was that one year all around the National Hockey League where there was, like, diarrhea going around where guys had to, like, leave the game. Who was that that actually had to leave the game for diarrhea? Was that Luongo?
It was some goalie. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was Roberto Luongo when he was up in Vancouver. He had diarrhea and he had to leave the game. Couldn't keep squatting in goal.
I just once want to see on an injury report say diarrhea instead of illness.
Injury report like E. coli, ate a Chipotle.
Nick Fairley, questionable return, in parentheses, diarrhea.
I mean, they got a squat too, so why not? Travis Swanson is out, the center, which, I mean, in my law of you need a center, that's not good. But I don't know. I don't really feel like talking about Bears that much.
Yeah, it's going to be an ugly game. Both teams are going to be missing a bunch of guys. Basically every single Bears receiver that ever was part of the team is out for this game, including, you know, Martellus Bennett. I think they're even their backup tight end might be gone.
Alshon Jeffrey's done, I believe.
Yep, he's on IR. They just
Zach Miller, who is Bennett's backup at tight end, is questionable for the game, so he could play. It's just a banged up team. Like, I mean,
yeah. And I mentioned this a little bit in my preview. I don't really know what the Bears have to play for other than getting some of their young guys some playing time.
Well, it's the same thing for the Lions at this point too. It's just basically this is a game for pride, rivalry, if you want to call it that. I don't really know if the Bears really see it as a rivalry because they're always so focused on the Packers.
Right.
Would you get the feel? Because you went on a Bears podcast. They still think of this as like a rivalry game.
Maybe a little bit, not as much. It's funny because the thing that the Bears podcast was most eager to talk to me about was the Golden Tate play from last game, which I had completely forgotten about because obviously it went in the Lions' favor. It was that pass that Golden caught in the end zone, immediately got it jarred loose, and it got picked off.
What are we talking?
You remember that?
No, the last Bears game?
The last Lions Bears game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about now. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You said last game, and I was going back, and the only thing I remember from Tate from the 49ers game was once again him summoning a flag.
Yes, he did that. But yeah, the Bears are apparently still a little butthurt about that.
Kidding me?
Tate play. And I ceded to them, like, yeah, it was probably a bad call, but welcome to the fucking club. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Welcome
Jesus.
To the NFL. Have you not been paying attention this whole year? I love it that apparently for the playoffs, they've had to call in Dean Blandino to be like, have like, you know, I'm trying to think of a good, I'm not good with superhero. Is there like a superhero out there who's like a watching hacker or something that's just ready to step in a moment? Like he's Oracle. He's Oracle.
Sure.
Wow. And we got really nerdy.
We got the wrong lineup for this. Again, I think Reno and Ryan Matthews are our nerdy consultants.
Well, I think they're more Marvel guys. Oracle is a DC character. But
okay, you just out-nerded both
no,
of them.
No, it's just I have different areas of nerd. They like Marvel and Star Wars. I'm like DC and Star Trek. That's how this works.
Okay.
I'm the bad nerd.
I didn't realize we had all of our bases covered with our staff.
I mean, we could go real deep. I don't know if anyone knows Firefly.
I have that on my Netflix queue. I hear it's good, but
I could never get into Josh, whatever his name is. Like I see his face and I just see Wesley.
I'm just thinking we have 8 very sad, lonely months ahead of us. Maybe we have a DC versus Marvel podcast.
Oh my! Well, we'll probably have chances. God knows, because Marvel keeps pumping out. Actually, you know what's probably the best time for it? When Batman versus Superman comes out. Because we are going to probably hate watch that.
I saw the new Star Wars finally, and maybe I've just turned into a big cynical asshole, but they were pretty much all just Marvel previews before it, and they all looked horrible. I don't care about X-Men. I don't care about Superman versus Batman. I don't care about your Suicide Squad. It's just, it all looks
the
same.
That's all DC.
It's all blending into the same thing, and it's just, I'm sick.
That's all DC, and then X-Men's controlled by Fox and not Disney. Yeah. So that's all, like, not the Disney stuff, but the Disney comic book trailers all have, like, a very specific, like, cycle to them. I could almost, like, outline how one of those superhero things go, because there's always going to be a part where the music is, like, you know, it builds up, and then near the end, the music will, like, stop, and they'll do, like, some super high action scene right before smash cutting to the logo.
Right before the buildings crumble something happens, and it's like, okay.
It's engineered adrenaline, and I'm just I can't do it anymore. And even though, like, and I'm seeing people, like, get upset with trailers now. People are turning against Suicide Squad and Batman versus Superman. People are turning against the new Star Trek, too.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. I think we were talking about the Bears, Lions game.
Oh, Dean Blandino. We were talking about Dean Blandino. Yes.
Oh, there you go.
That's how disinterested. Like, I mean, what's on the line? Like, I don't know. Like, you never want to say you want to play for draft pick, but literally at this point, these two teams have the same record. And like,
yeah, and this is what I was going to say, is I feel like the Lions have a little more to play for. And I did say that in my preview, just because I do truly believe that. And I know players always come out in favor of the coach. I really do think that the players really want to keep Caldwell around, so they're going to try to play hard in this game. And I don't know how much this game would really affect Caldwell's chances. Probably not that much differently if he won or lost this one. But the players are going to play like it does. And I was just going to say, I do think the Lions have at least a little bit to play for this game. I do truly believe the Lions when they say that they want to keep Jim Caldwell around. I know players always say that they want to keep their coach, but for some reason it rings true to me this season. Caldwell is kind of that player coach type coach. And so I do think they'll probably play like this game matters in terms of keeping Caldwell around, even though it probably doesn't. I think the new general manager, whoever comes in, has probably already had his decision made whether they win week 17 or not.
I've been saying for months that it's not going to matter what Jim Caldwell's record is at the end of the year. It's going to go out the same way. But, I mean, we've seen weirder. I didn't think Chip Kelly would get the boot this quickly in Philadelphia, and here we are.
I know we don't want to go too deep into the Chip Kelly stuff, but why do you think they did it before Black Monday?
Well, from what I understand, and this is the only reason it makes sense to me, because otherwise you're just being short-sighted, that, like, I would love to have a coach that had two double-digit win seasons and goes to the playoffs twice, and then, like, you know, this year isn't able to really do... Did he go to the playoffs twice? Doesn't matter. Two double-digit win seasons. He screws up one year, and then he's gone. But from what I understand, Jeffrey Lurie basically came down to him and said, you need to give up personnel control and put a GM in place. And, I mean, give that power back to the general manager. And Chip Kelly said no. So Jeffrey Lurie's like, you're fine.
Still didn't wait the next week?
Yeah. I'm imagining it's something really heavy fell out. I'm imagining it's not a you can't. I'm imagining it's a you can't fire me, I quit scenario that happened.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, I don't know what happened, but I would not be surprised if, like, a year down the line we have, like, a tell-all from Chip Kelly about what happened in there. Because I just that's short-sighted. And, you know, I know Caldwell wasn't the first catch the Lions wanted, but. It's still shocking to me. Someone brought it up the other day talking about Chip Kelly too. Like, you realize Bill Belichick wouldn't survive in this NFL, just in how quickly people are firing coaches now.
Yeah.
Because Bill Belichick had bad years.
And yeah, it's true. And that's part of the reason why I think a lot of the Lions fans have turned very quickly in Caldwell's favor over the last month.
Well, I think a lot was going on, and once again, here we are talking more about Caldwell again, but I think at this point, like, I have to back off some of the things I said, but it's been pretty well clear, like, what happened with the offense this year. It was a lot on Lombardi and his schemes. And the defense hasn't really done superb, but granted, it's also a defense that lost a lot of talent.
Yeah, the way I see the season and how it played out was more that the defensive turnaround was really the reason the Lions started winning again. Because through the first 8 weeks, they were one of the worst defenses in the league.
Yep.
And now all the cumulative stats have them about average or below, just a little bit below average, meaning that they've probably been one of the best defenses in the league in the past 6 or 7 weeks.
But the offense... Oh, I'm sorry, go on.
I was just gonna say, and that makes all the difference. I mean, it makes your team competitive regardless of how the offense is doing. And sure, the offense has been better, but you know they've also been playing some pretty terrible defenses. And you have games like the Rams game that stick out to me, where it's like, okay, you play a serious defense, and this offense still kind of looks pretty bad.
Well, I'm not even sure what's gonna happen when we play on the road this Sunday.
Yeah,
because that's the only other factor I can think of is just maybe they just weren't good on the road in St. Louis for whatever reason.
Yeah,
we are seeing some improvement. I really don't know how too much to read into it. And who knows? Maybe they do bring him back and then Jim Bob Cooter goes out and lays a stinker on the first week or something. I mean, it's all possible. This is football. It's a weird, hellish system where nothing really makes sense.
Yeah, and our sample sizes are so small. We don't know what to conclude. And that's why... Part of the reason I think Lions fans want to keep everyone around is just kind of out of curiosity. Like, what can this offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator look like in another season where they get a full off season to get things figured out
scheme.
And
yeah,
it is interesting, but I don't know. I still find myself in this weird position in between both. Like I think I've made it pretty clear that I'm not a huge Caldwell guy, and I still find myself wondering, and I think I put this in my Festivus post, like I'm mad at him for making himself making the team so competitive at the end, because now I'm like, I don't know, I want to know what could have happened this year, and now I want to know what might happen next year, but at the same time, it's like, well, I can't completely ignore the first 8 weeks of the season.
Well, that brings us to another question. Are you ready to tackle the Calvin Johnson situation now? Or do you want to let this simmer?
We can talk about it, but I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't understand where
I don't
all
think
this
he can stuff... go anywhere.
Yeah. First of all, his cap hits $24 million next year. About half of it is in dead money, which means it's happening whether we cut him or not. I don't think cutting him is really an option. That I don't think anyone is clamoring for that. A trade is possible, but someone's going to have to take on that contract, which is huge. Outrageous, and it's going to even get more outrageous.
Whoever takes him is going to be locked up until 2020.
Right. I think the dead money goes down, meaning he becomes a little more cuttable in the future.
Well, but he only has a dead cap until 2017,
right?
Where it's $5 million in 2017.
Right, so that means you can knock almost $20 million off if you decide to cut him, I think. So, but I think they're going to – I mean, I think this screams exactly what happened to Larry Fitzgerald a couple of years ago. He's going to probably take a pay cut. He's the kind of guy that will. He knows that the Lions are completely faithful to him, even if they're asking him to take a pay cut. And does he really seem like the guy that's like, no, I want to go somewhere that wins? He wants to win, obviously, but is he the guy, kind of guy that wants to like stab his team in the back and demand a trade or anything like that? No.
Well, yeah, so he's hard to figure out. He's not like Ndamukong Suh, where Ndamukong Suh told you up front is like, I want to be a very highly paid player.
Right.
Because that's how I pride the value of my talent is how much people are willing to commit, how much money that talent commands. For Calvin Johnson, I don't think we've gotten a real answer out of him on like what he, you know, he's not really a guy who talks that much. So you don't know what he really values when it comes to the NFL and how he wants to play or where he wants to play or what he plays for. But I mean,
right.
Obviously a lot of it does seem to say that he likes Detroit, but I mean, that can change too. So I don't, yeah, it's an unknown factor.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a megastar, and he doesn't take all these. I mean, he takes some endorsement deals, but it's not like Ndamukong Suh. So to me, like, the money thing doesn't seem like a huge priority to him. He's the kind of guy that just goes out, plays, does what he's asked, and you know.
What was the last I'm trying to think. The last Calvin Johnson commercial I can remember him in is like a This Is SportsCenter ad.
Yeah, I remember there was that one. He's just like training in the whole commercial, and he's like talks about running a 4.3 40 or something. And I remember he got a little flack for that because like, come on, you never ran a 4.3 40, Calvin. Chill out.
No. He's not that. He's not. Oh boy. We did have some good questions this year. I feel like we should probably get to them.
Yeah, but let's jump into that.
Yeah, it's a fresh year for the Lions. Haven't lost 2016. Haven't won either, but we do have some questions, and now I need to go and find them because I've lost them, and I'm terrified of typing on this keyboard I have in front of me because it's really loud. I got a mechanical keyboard for Christmas, and this thing will break your ears if I start typing on it, but let me pull these up. We're going to get some old questions. We tried asking these a few weeks ago, but as with everything over the holidays, it didn't work out. Some of this is going to be a little, it's leftovers in the fridge. It's some extra Christmas chocolate. Some eggnog that you want to smell a couple times and make sure it's still good. So, the Devin Taylor suit. Morgadu wants to ask about that. So, in case you don't remember, back before Christmas, Devin Taylor was wearing, was that suit from Macy's?
I think so.
Yeah, it was like a gangster holiday Christmas sweater gangster suit. I said gangster twice, yes.
You did.
It had like dinosaurs, hearts, and like Tommy guns on it.
Amazing.
I'm painting a visual image already. You just need to know that. If you can look it up, or I'll put it in the maybe I'll use it as like the see if we got one in our podcast archives to use it there. But Morgadu wants to know, if you were to design your own Devin Taylor-style holiday attire, what three non-sequitur items would be in the design? Also, would it be a suit, a sweater, a trench coat?
Well, I think if it's a holiday theme, you got to go holiday sweater.
Well, I don't know what dinosaurs have to do with Christmas, but...
Maybe he really liked that ABC show back in the day.
Oh, God. What was it with the like latex... dinosaur yeah. things
the when, horrifying looking dinosaurs
oh yeah not the mama the
baby
god yeah. That show had the grimmest ending to a television show. That was like, this is a children's show and you're talking about they're all going to die cold and in the ashes. Spoiler alert.
I think the statute of limitations in giving spoilers for that show has passed, so
way
you're
passed.
Good to go there. But this is a good question. I like it a lot. Well, so I'm going holiday sweater. You probably have to have one holiday themed icon in it.
No, you don't.
I'm gonna go. Well, in my world, you do. So we're gonna go with a menorah because we gotta support our fellow Jews out here. Then I'm thinking just like a big ribeye steak or something, because even though I'm part of team pizza over everything, I'm really more steak over everything, to be honest.
Mm.
And my third item, it's probably going to be some sort of pop culture reference. I'm trying to think of maybe something good.
Should have known this before you came in here.
I know. I didn't come prepared, or maybe I had an idea way back 2 weeks ago when we had this going. Let's say like a banana to represent Arrested Development.
That's a little too much for me, but you do you, I guess.
There you go.
I'm going to go with, first, I'm going to have the letter Z because it's my favorite letter. Also represents sleeping, which is what we do a lot on the holidays because we're all just lazy bastards. Next, I'm going to have two UFC fighters and one trying to submit the other.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, why isn't there any Christmas UFC, huh, Dana White? Huh?
Needs to be a UFC bowl.
A UFC bowl, yes. Sweaty fighting bowl. And then I am probably going to go with a... Oh, now you caught me. You know what? We'll do a tennis ball.
Ooh,
everyone likes tennis balls. That's technically two sporting things, so I should maybe like rethink this a little bit.
Are you part golden retriever, or do you just like watching tennis?
No. No one either. I like Serena Williams, and I like Serena Williams.
You're just taking the non sequitur thing.
I really like Serena Williams.
Oh, okay. All right.
Dude, I have the Sports Illustrated cover here.
Was she on one of those naked issues? No.
You remember she was a sportswoman of the year, and she did that thing where she was being Serena, and she was like lounging in like a black unitard on and high heels and on a throne. And I'm just like my queen.
Well, we learned a lot about you today.
Yes, we did. Let's go on to the next question. Tuffy Links asks, eggnog is excellent, especially with some brandy in it. The real question is here, do you like fruitcake?
Now, my answer is mostly no, but, and I know you're going to hate this, I do like the moistness of the cake. I just don't like the flavor.
That word.
I know, you hate that word.
God, it's such an awful word. I remember one year, I had a coworker who... I think he was from the Dominican Republic, and he decided to make a fruit cake with rum-soaked fruit in it. Now, here's the kicker. He was going to make this originally for Halloween, but he forgot about it. So it had been soaking. He soaks the fruit for like a good month before going into these cakes, right? So he had been soaking it from the beginning of October. He forgot about it and was like, that's fine. I'll just let this thing keep cooking. I'll just let this fruit sit here until the next holiday party. Well, sure enough, middle of December rolls around, and he rolls out this cake with his fruit that's been sitting in there for 3 months in rum. And it was like eating, they were like pieces of electricity when they came out. It was fantastic. So yes, I'm all for the fruit cake, fruit cake. I don't know if it's traditional fruit cake, but we're going to go with it.
I'm just picturing a cake with like gushers in it that was just like infused with vodka or something.
Rum fruit.
Rum, just, rum.
And it was all tropical fruit too. It was delicious.
That's kind of a good idea though. I kind of want rum gushers.
Rummy gushers? Someone threw a couple of warheads at me the other day.
Oh.
And I was having those for the first time. And no, not for the first time. I'd had them as a kid before. First time in forever though. And I'm just like, man, I forgot how much I love these things. They're so hard to find now, though, because, like, the good candy store in Toledo is, like, gone.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Let's see. JBDT asks, where can we get that blue lion Santa suit you have in the picture for this article? And has Alex been stealing other people's food again? Although I have to agree with him, pizza is the ultimate food stuff, even if they do put prawns on it in Australia. Wait a minute.
What?
Can I say something, though? That's not the weirdest thing I've seen on pizza.
Okay. Hit me.
Shrimp on pizza is not that bad. I can understand that. If you're doing like a white pizza.
Yeah, it has to be kind of one of those
like,
light
white pizzas. Like a pesto sauce.
Sure.
Like a really fancy Italian pizza. The Japanese and their pizza get really weird.
Uh-oh.
They will put corn on it. They will put slices of fried egg on it. No, I'm sorry, not fried egg. Hard-boiled egg.
Oh, that's much worse.
Yeah, and then they, like, douse it like that. I guess they do this with everything, though. They have this, like, orange mayonnaise. They put on, like, a spicy mayonnaise they put on everything. Like, I see them put them on, like, noodles and everything else, but they will put it all over the pizza.
Ooh.
You will get a mayonnaise-doused pizza with hard-boiled egg and corn.
The quickest way to ruin a pizza is to put mayonnaise on it.
You say that, and I have that ranch sauce on my Jets pizza downstairs. So.
Well, that's okay because you have this buffalo chicken
one,
right?
Buffalo chicken. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, ranch.
I wanted, but I want. I got that because I wanted to do a different pizza. I got so tired of doing like the same pizzas, and Gino and like the two places in town, Toledo, Gino's and Vito's, and Jets. They all offer these like different pizzas, and I think the one I need to do is a Euro pizza that Gino's has.
They have that tzatziki sauce or whatever?
Yeah, they have tzatziki sauce on it, but they have Euro meat and a lot of Mediterranean vegetables, and it's...
I'm glad to see you branching out in 2016.
Hold up. No, I don't need to branch out in 2016. I love Greek food. I love shawarma and Euros, and I know shawarma is Middle Eastern. I love all that stuff.
But you're branching out into hybrid genres there.
I don't know if that's really in a... commitment I'm making to myself in 2016. My 2016 commitments are basically to write more, try to get paid for writing more, and like lose weight.
Are you trying to shake me down right now?
Maybe.
We'll see.
I mean, no, I'm
I don't see any of the other writers here, so that tells
that's
me all
true,
I need
that's
to know.
True. Everyone else was in the weeds. This has been a violent Christmas.
They're all with their families.
Well, I did see Reno for the holidays. We were up in the Quick Lane Bowls. We wrote about that. We got, by the way, we have some Quick Lane swag here. I don't know if you want to try to give it out for your next on paper predictions thing.
Maybe.
So
maybe, let's try and think of maybe something for the off season for
did
it.
Did we even, do we, we'd never explained what we have in the Quick Lane bag here that we've got. So we've got two long sleeve Quick Lane shirts. They are gray with a Quick Lane Bowl logo on them. We have two pressure gauges. And because this came from what's the place that the NFL is headquartered? Park Avenue?
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sorry.
That I wasn't sure if the pressure gauges were thrown in. They're like PSI gauges, so I'm not sure if they're thrown in because Quick Lanes or because of Tom Brady. But they're there.
Nice.
And then we've got two pieces of signed memorabilia, an Under Armour football and a little mini Quick Lane Bowl mini helmet, both signed by Herman Moore.
Nice.
And I'm probably going to hold on to one of them because I'm greedy. And I wrote all that stuff. And I don't get paid.
There you go.
That and I also endured what Alex was thinking I would catch, like pneumonia-inducing winds and rain up in Detroit that day. Which I actually, this is a great way to transition away from the questions. Although I do have one more question, but we'll come back to it. You and your whole idea to put us up in an outdoor bowl, outdoor stadium, you can go to hell after that thing. After that, like anyone who says we need to have an outdoor stadium, like I just wish you had been there trying to walk to and from the Quick Lane Bowl.
Do you think there's anything to what Martha supposedly said about it toughening up teams?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't, and I don't care for it. And, you know, I just find it a happy coincidence because there aren't many teams that play in a bowl game, so it's a very selective. And by the way, those teams that do play in domes, I said bowl games. I'm in the vodka tonight. Okay, those teams that do play in domes usually pretty crappy to begin with, and so it's kind of a very selective. It's already a self-selective. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing, right?
Right.
Because, like, look at the teams that do play in domes. We're talking about the Colts, who they have won a Super Bowl. We talk about
the Saints.
The Saints and the Colts. Those are two ones. But then look who else has a dome. So the Cowboys, which, cool.
Sure. Sure. That's all you really need to say about that. Cool.
Cool. who else plays in a dome? So, I mean, the Vikings were playing in a dome.
Arizona kind of plays in one, but not really.
But I mean, that's, even if they weren't playing in a dome, they'd be playing in Arizona weather.
Right.
Right? So, like, I don't know which is which here.
Yeah.
Who else plays in a dome? I'm thinking.
I'm having a hard time. The Rams?
The Texans?
Rams. Texans, Rams.
Is that it?
I don't know. It seems like there's more than
I thought there would be. So, I mean, that's who we're talking about here. Not a lot of teams that really compete to begin with, far less about toughness in January when they're playing out in the snow.
Would you be in favor of one game outdoor? I like that idea. I like, well, maybe a game at the big house or game in
kind of like,
you don't like the baseball thing though, right?
No, because I think football played in a baseball stadium is just awful. Yeah. Like, I see it too often because I watch college football and they put these things in like Marlins Park or in Yankee Stadium. And I hate it. It looks awful. It looks cramped. It looks crowded. And to be honest, you're kind of like, I don't know why the NFL would do that, because there's less seats in a baseball park, in a modern baseball stadium now.
Right.
Like, I mean, just look at a Raiders game too. Look at how awful it is to play in those raid in UCO. Like,
I can tell you, if you're there at the game, don't expect to watch a good football game, or don't expect to be able to see it very well. Cause
right.
My one experience, and it wasn't a football game. I saw a hockey game. I saw a winter classic. It wasn't the winter classic.
No,
at Dodger Stadium.
Oh yeah, one of the stadium series. I was gonna say, because they played the Wings Leafs alumni game at Comerica.
Yeah.
And I thought that game looked awful there too, because they just, because it's just, it's not shaped properly for a good game like that. And that's a hockey rink too. That's not a football field.
Yeah. And I literally watched the entire game on a monitor. I couldn't see like 80% of the rink. It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why they do the big winter classic ones in giant football fields now too. Speaking of which, nice to see that the winter classic decided to take a page from the awfulness of these bowl games and had another blowout there too. So,
yeah. Way to go, State.
State.
I had to get that in with no State guys here. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we are Sparty free, and I can't figure out a reason why today on New Year's Day why we'd have no Sparty showing up. I've got no room to talk, because I guess technically one of my teams got pretty well beat down. My other teams won their bowl game though, so I mean, go Toledo Rockets.
I mean, we can all just sense the shift in the Big Ten, right? We can all sense what's about to happen next year, right?
Woohoo, you beat up an awful Florida squad. Don't even get in.
Whoa, an awful Florida offense.
I don't care, but you could throw through the air, which is like the first time Florida's seen someone throw through the air this whole damn year. Like, dude, you realize that there were 2 points, there was like two, how many points combined between Florida State and the SEC championship for Florida? You want to take a stab at it?
I don't know. I don't know college football enough. All I know is that Michigan saved the Big Ten from SEC embarrassment completely, so you're welcome.
No, that would be a really bad embarrassment if you guys lost to Florida. I don't know if winning, though, puts you in the light, but we are way off track. What were we even talking about? This new year is off to a fantastic start.
Well, we knew this was coming, let's be honest. We're not prepared. We're not ready to talk about the offseason, because there's going to be a lot to talk about, and there's going to be a lot of time to talk about it. So we kind of wanted to hold that off a little bit while we can, because there's 8 months ahead and no one wants it. And
shout out to Rolk M, R-O-L-K-M, who asked a bunch of good offseason questions. I'm bookmarking them because we will talk about them when it's the off season. Like, I'm not ready for it yet. You guys realize that we have 2 months before free agency.
March.
No, 2.5 months. I'm sorry. Yeah. 2.5 months before free agency. And then after.
I mean, yeah. The good news is we'll have a nice bit of GM and coaching, maybe, news to talk about and analyze, and that'll take care of like 2 weeks.
And then 2 weeks of 2.5 months. Hooray, you got the half out of the way.
Yep.
It's just, God, why do we do this? Why do we love a sport that is just like, it's a mayfly?
It's so cruel to us.
It really is. I really wish I had gotten in writing about baseball, where it's like, hooray, this thing goes on all year long.
Yeah, but 162 games of coverage, that sounds like a
Yeah, nightmare. Or maybe basketball or hockey.
Yeah.
Those really short off seasons. I was really smart to get into soccer, but I don't feel like torturing myself like that.
That's a fun fan base to write to, I'm sure.
Well, that might be a fun off-season thing, because I still don't have a Premier League squad, and I want someone to sell me on one that isn't Liverpool. It seems like every Detroit fan is also a Liverpool fan. I don't care. You're shrugging. Like, all you know is football. I've learned this working with
It's
you.
Kind of true, but I can't get into English Premier League because those games are played at like 3 a.m. over here.
That's right. You are on the West Coast too. So it's not like us on the East Coast where we can just wake up and before and like 9 a.m. and there's a soccer game on.
And I'm not one of those weird fans that can follow sports without watching them.
Yeah.
I know like a handful of people who do that. Who are like, I'm sports fans, but I just don't watch the games. I read the stat lines and read the stories. I'm like, that's
kind of what I do for baseball, though. But, I mean, baseball's kind of designed to be like that.
I guess. Well, yeah, because you can't just...
But, I mean, it's not just soccer. Like, you don't get into basketball. You barely get into hockey.
If I was back home in Michigan, I would totally be more into the Red Wings. Because, again, it's a time zone thing. Those games are played at 4:30 over here, and I'm still at work.
Yeah, versus, like, you know, when they were in the Western Conference, where you could watch them when they were out in, like, a West Coast swing, which...
Yeah.
For us over here, I'm like, yeah, cool. I totally want to watch a hockey game that ends at 2 a.m.
Right. And I mean, now, like, running the site, I have to devote a lot of time to the Lions. I don't have a lot of time to spend elsewhere.
I'm
complaining. I love the Lions. They've always
been. No, I love the Lions too. It's just
my fandom.
It's just, this is going to be a very trying offseason. I think our Slack is going to show cabin fever around May.
Oh yeah, the podcasts are going to get real interesting. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Do we want to preview some of what we're going to be doing? We are going to have on other Detroit sports blogs from SB Nation.
Okay.
We've had a good rapport with the guys over at Bless You Boys. I've gone on their podcast once or twice. And so we're going to try to have them on when the Tigers start. We do have a couple guys on the staff who also work for Detroit Bad Boys, so I think tapping into them is kind of cool.
That'd be a good idea.
Although one of them did write a scathing article about the Lions after Stan Van Gundy came out in favor of the Lions.
It was in good heart, even though some commenters didn't take it that way.
No. We might try. We don't really have a lot of contacts with Wingate and Motown. Maybe they listen. I would love to have some of those guys on because I feel like their sarcasm's right up our alley.
Definitely. I know. I have a good rapport with one of the guys. I don't know if he writes it for them anymore, but the Triple Deke.
Yes, he does.
He's a great follow on Twitter if you're not following him.
Yep. Him and JJ from Kansas.
Yeah.
And then because we are almost a wrestling podcast, we're probably going to have some wrestling friends on around the time for WrestleMania. Fair warning.
We haven't talked about this in a while, but I still hope we do it. We were talking about doing a live podcast viewing of the movie Draft Day, preferably right before the draft.
I'm trying to figure out, I would love to do that, but I'm trying to figure out how that would even work because we Skype all of this stuff.
Right.
So we'd have to have it like simulcast lined up, like the technical specs to actually make this Mystery Science Theater thing work, which is what it would be. would be fin. It would be very hard to get right, especially with my connection sometimes crapping out. But it would be fantastic, because if you haven't seen Draft Day, oh my god, you're in for a treat. It is probably the worst sports movie in existence, and there's been some pretty bad sports movies.
I'm looking forward to just seeing the movie, because I haven't, and I know it's terrible.
I haven't either. I just know what the ratings are, and I know Kevin Costner. We read the synopsis after a. Did we read that on a podcast? We did not read that on a podcast, but we read it after a podcast, and we were all falling out at the ridiculousness of the whole plot, which, by the way, revolves around the idea of the Browns doing anything sensible.
Hey, maybe it'll happen this year. Maybe, you know, movies will reflect reality. They'll probably have, like, the number one-ish pick this year, so.
Or they'll probably draft Connor Cook.
Not Jared Goff?
I don't really know what to do with Jared Goff. I really don't. Like, now that we've gotten to draft talk, I really don't know what to do with Jared Goff, because Cal was Cal this year. They beat up a bunch of bad teams and then lost every good team with a pulse about them. So I really, and you know, Goff was good in those games he was good in, and that was it. I really don't know what to do with that. I really don't.
It seemed like he dropped a little bit towards the end of the season, so he might be there around, I don't know, like 14, 15, if there are any teams that need a quarterback.
All I know is that he put up. Can I just say his line from the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl that he played in against the Air Force Academy?
Go for it.
The Air Force Academy, by the way, was an eight and five? Yeah, they were an 8-5 team this year before the bowl game.
Bowl worthy.
Yeah, and they played 13 games the regular season because they were part of that mysterious 13th Hawaii game or something. I don't know. Anyway, Jared Goff's line is 25 for 35, 467 yards,
Jesus,
and 6 touchdowns.
He's trying to earn some money with that right there. You can see it.
Yeah, QBR of 94.3 from the game, averaging about 12 and a half yards per completion. But Air Force still scored 36 points, too, so... And by the way,
Air Force doesn't play defense.
Well, that's true, but at the same time, too, like that's also a very undersized defense they're playing against, too.
Yeah,
because academies have to like weight manage and stuff. So I really don't know what to do with Jared Goff. We're talking about quarterback. We're not drafting a goddamn quarterback, so I don't know why we're doing this. Like,
you didn't catch on that. I was hinting that maybe the Lions do it at 14 or 15.
No. I think at this point the boat on Stafford has sailed. We know what we're doing with Stafford.
He shut you up good.
See, this is still, I think, his statistically like second worst year by DVOA and DYAR, but he's fine for right now. He's actually 10th right now on DYAR. Like he's getting to feast
10 quarterback.
Yep, he's getting to feast on, as you said, a lot of bad offenses.
Oh, okay, so now you're jumping to that side of the argument.
I mean, defenses, huh? What do I say? And don't tell me to jump around.
Do we have anything else to talk
about? No, we just don't.
Go into more random topics like Jared Goff.
Oh, we've got a couple more things to really talk about. Not much here. There's going to be a little tangential as we try to finish off this podcast, number whatever. And I don't know if this is going to get any better. We're going to try to structure these a little better in the off season too. And hopefully at some time I'm trying to work on a call-in line. That would be fantastic for our friends and our commenters.
Get some
questions and hot takes. And
we love them POD hot takes that we see in the comments section.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Some really great ones like blank checks for Brian Billick. Speaking of that, though, general manager news. So there might be another general manager out pretty soon in Miami.
Dennis.
Yeah, they just fired Jeff Ireland last year. And now all signs are being pointed to, this is a Mike Florio blog post, so take it with a grain of salt, but Dennis Hickey could be out in Miami.
That's crazy to me. People are... I've seen some people in the comment section talk about how impatient the Lions have been with coaches. And this, after 1 year getting rid of your general manager, that...
Well, I don't know if, I mean, you say that, but at the same time, too, even before everyone kind of came around to the Caldwell side, everyone was going on blood about this whole front office and everything else. And I get it, too, because Lions are always on that reverse side. They're not, the Lions have never been the impatient bunch. They've been the bunch to be really almost too patient with people, right?
That's true, but I feel like there's this undercurrent of a certain subset of fans that actually think the Lions are being a little too impatient, at least with coaches, because they've had something like 10 coaches in the past 20 years or something like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a hard thing to gauge, especially when it's always on a constant losing thing, and there's always the weird, you know, the Ford's got to sell this team subtext to a lot of it because people are just... You know, they've tried firing guys, they tried hiring guys, and everyone just assumes that it's at the top now. So, but I mean, if Miami is on the job, is on the market for a general manager too. I mean, would you take? I mean, obviously, let's take our fandom out of this. Miami job or Detroit job?
Oof.
Because I mean, hold up, we need to actually say one of the things here because I think you had a great point while we were talking off air about. One of the guys that they interviewed twice and turned away from the job.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. It was one of the guys I profiled. I think it was the most recent,
But that guy. So just tell him what the condition of the job was that he wasn't willing to accept the job for.
Yeah. He basically wanted personnel control. Specifically, he wanted to get Tannehill out of there and move on from him. And the owner was just not having it. So he turned down the job, and it was the Packers guy.
It might have been, but either way, whatever. Like I mean, yeah. After this year, I think we can say they have to move on from Tannehill. But at the same time, too, does that make that a great job when the owner is wanting to commit to a specific personnel thing? I mean, granted, what if a guy came in tomorrow and was like, "I want to get rid of Stafford and Calvin Johnson."
he would not be hired, let's be honest. But I think the Lions have been pretty clear that the people in place, the president and Martha Ford, probably aren't going to touch anything personnel-wise. But
right.
That being said, I don't think they're going to hire someone who's going to sell their two golden gooses in terms of like fan
sales. Maybe it's just
sales.
Stafford. Maybe it's just Stafford. What if they just want to move on from Stafford? Because, I mean, that contract's looming.
It is, but I mean, if everything else about the general manager is that outstanding, they'd probably do it. But I don't think such a candidate exists that's going to be that insistent on moving on from Matthew Stafford. But if there was, I mean, like I said, the Lions are giving up full personnel decisions to whoever they decide on, and
right.
if that's really what the first move this guy wants to do, he'll have the freedom to do it, but he'll be on the hook for it as well.
Yeah, and by the way, we should clarify that person is not going to be a combination general manager coach, so that probably leaves Chip Kelly out of this.
Yes.
Look, I don't think that it was the right idea to get rid of him from Philadelphia, but at the same time, and I wouldn't be mad if Chip Kelly, without personnel decisions, came in and became the new coach of the Detroit Lions. I wouldn't.
That would make for a fun season of writing.
Look, he didn't have a quarterback in Philadelphia all those years. He still put up two double-digit win seasons. No one seems to remember those anymore. All you want to hear is... Philadelphia sucks, you know, potential weird rearranging of the roster, get rid of him. It was a mistake for him to take over personnel decisions, but, you know.
It was.
But that was such a weird, fascinating episode this week in the NFL. I still don't know what happened or why it happened. I feel like we're going to have a tell-all very soon about it.
It'll be fun. I mean, I like... watching those, you know, circuses, as long as I'm from the outside looking in, because...
Yeah, I mean, usually we're part of that circus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
And just to put a bookend on this, it was Nick Caserio.
Oh, okay.
Was the general manager, the guy from the Patriots, who interviewed for the Dolphins job twice in 2014. and then eventually turned it down because he did not get full personnel control. And
yeah, he wanted to get rid of Tannehill, which, I mean, don't blame him.
Yep, he made the right call there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All them, I mean, Miami is always fascinating to me because there's so many parallels you could really draw. Like, take away, like, their old Super Bowls and 70 success. There's a lot of interesting parallels to really draw in there with the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like all these kind of perpetual bottom-of-the-rung teams, they all just kind of have the same thing going on. The Browns, the Bills, the Dolphins.
Just instability. It's a matter of, you know, I think someone was pointing out the other day, Belichick had bad years to start out. Yeah. And he wouldn't last in this climate. I'm not saying Caldwell is that, but I'm just...
The thing is, it just takes one group of guys that can turn it around. Like, New Orleans used to be in that conversation, and even though this season wasn't that good, like, you don't think of them as that bottom-rung team anymore. And
even though they generally are.
Well, they generally were.
Yeah. But it's amazing what one Super Bowl in the modern era can really do for your franchise, right? Yeah.
And, I mean, you could throw the Panthers into that conversation, too.
Yeah, the Panthers coming on to their own. Well, I mean, no, you really can't because the Panthers had early success.
I guess they did have that Super Bowl against St. Louis that they lost, but...
I don't know. Was it St. Louis? I thought it was... No, never mind.
Oh, it was the Patriots, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Patriots. It was the tuck rule.
Yeah.
No, wait, that was the Raiders with the tuck rule.
But it was against the Patriots because Carolina and St. Louis are both in the NFC, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Rams, I guess they would have been because I just looked up and I realized the Seahawks used to be in the AFC. So, you know, hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah. But is there a general manager out there that you have looked into yet? Are you privy to the general manager candidates out there? And is there anyone that you like?
I've been reading some of your profiles. I don't remember any of their names off the top of my head because they're all nameless and faceless to me.
Right.
And I really don't know how to evaluate them because football is such a weird thing when it comes to personnel versus literally any other sport, right?
Right. And there's such like an assembly line of employees that you don't know who's doing what behind the scenes, but...
But it's more than that, too. Like, in baseball and hockey, you at least have farm systems to look at, and you can talk about, you know, the health of some of those prospects, like the healthy state of many prospects coming from, like, AHL or AAA baseball up to the majors in those respective sports. And for the NBA, it's absolutely obvious when it comes to talent evaluation. For the NFL, I don't know how to do it. Like, it's so complicated. Like, I don't know... Like, you hear all these guys with their, you know, the Mel Kipers of the world, the big boards out there, and they will always say, oh, excellent draft choice. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to say that. And I'm comfortable as a football guy saying sometimes I just don't know. And that extends to the general managers. I really don't know. Like, I understand the reasons why you know, who is our general manager?
Martin Mayhew.
Mayhew, Jesus. I understand the reasons why Mayhew had to go and why his draft picks didn't pan out, but that's hindsight, right?
Right. And also, I mean, I don't want to say firing him was a bad idea, but he had great years. Like, that 2013 draft is outstanding. It's not just good. It's amazing.
Yeah, he had good years, but he also had bad years. Because, I mean, we keep harping on Ebron all we want, but it's sitting there.
It's just, the draft is kind of a crapshoot.
It's a lottery ticket.
You honestly have to make up for it in other ways, whether it's, you know, off-season free agency or... undrafted, or contracts or whatever it is. It's just, I don't want to say firing Mayhew was the wrong idea, but I don't also think it was necessarily the best idea. I mean, obviously this team still has talent. It turned things around pretty pretty drastically in the second half, and obviously that doesn't have anything to do with what Martin Mayhew did.
No, it has a lot more with getting rid of Lombardi.
Right.
we don't need to beat around the bush. That was Lombardi there. So
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how to really do the math on it. I'm sure whoever we get, we're going to either talk ourselves into it or talk ourselves away from it, depending on where the national conversation goes.
Right.
And then that's going to be that.
Yeah.
This wasn't really a great podcast for the first time. Our New Year's resolution to make good podcasts is really not off to a great start.
Well, let's have the listeners have the final say there.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a reverse of usual New Year's resolutions where they start, if you're like, you know, you resolve to exercise, you start out strong, but then by March you've put the shake weights away.
Well, maybe we're just sandbagging. We're like, all right, we're going to make a great podcast in 2016. So let's start out with a terrible one so that.
Well, that's
when
what
we
I
look
mean.
At
it's,
our, yeah.
It's the reverse of that. Rather than falling off in March, we're going to get really good as the season wears on. We're going to do more production. We're going to have maybe a call in line. I don't know if I have the money to really afford one of those, but we'll try to maybe get something set up. And we'll try to have more guests. This wasn't really a podcast with a lot of guests. We had scheduling issues. 2015 wasn't really a good year for any one of us. Like, nah, it was good it was good for me and coming aboard. It was good for you becoming the general manager. General manager. Managing
sure.
editor.
I like that. But it was a rebuilding year for Pride of Detroit. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, it was. It was a rebuilding year, but I mean, my own personal life in 2015 was kind of crappy too. 2015 just sucked.
Yeah, it did. You know what?
Yeah.
2016 is going to be great. We can say that because we're only, you know,
not to get too political.
20 hours into it.
You know, look at everything else that was happening in the world in 2015. Like I feel good that we're good. That we've got rid of 2015. I've got positive vibes now. I feel good.
I do too. It's going to be our year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take that however you want.
This is still Lions. This is still Lions blog though. So who knows?
Hey, what everything's getting blown up. We're going to see a whole new Lions team.
It's going to be an interesting offseason. Yep.
I'm trying to stay positive here. What are you doing?
Me? Positive? When I could just, you know, sit, squat in these remains and ruins and just yell and scream and...
Did you just refer to Toledo as ruins?
Have you been to Toledo?
No, I have not.
I don't think anyone can really argue with my description.
Aw.
Anyway, let's get out of here. At Malkovich Plan on there for myself. I'm not going to change my Twitter handle. I think it's going to stay. I keep talking about changing it. It's not happening.
All right.
Maybe should I make that a 2016 resolution? Finally change the Malkovich Plan to something more coherent?
If you want. Hey, man. You do you. I'm not here to peer pressure you into Twitter analytics or anything like that.
Twitter analytics?
I don't know why I said that.
Detroit Online for Jeremy there with all his Twitter analytics to get people, you know, to... Get him the follows and the things and
the people and the follows and
the tweets.
And
congratulations to your Wolverines for beating up on a hapless Florida team that doesn't mean anything.
No bowl games mean anything unless they're in the playoffs, but it's good to feel better than Sparty does right now. I'm not going to lie.
We're still just twisting that knife in Sparty. Want me to watch this twist this even more?
Yeah, please.
So one of my teams is Notre Dame. We did not lose as much to Alabama as Michigan State just did. Back in our you know, chance to play for a national title. So all of you guys laughing at Notre Dame when during that 2012 beatdown by Alabama, you know, 38 points as a goose egg. We're going to hear about this next week.
Yeah, we'll bring it.
You know what we're going to say to them? We're going to... John Cena!